Second hour of Old School on 93.7 The Ticket. I'm DP. He's Jay Foran, and Austin Horn is with us. And he will take us through the hour. So he will guide the ship and get us through. 402-464-5685. Sutter Hammond text line if you want to join the conversation. Hit us with a what's up. If there's a question, a comment, an opinion that you want to share, greatly appreciate it. Make sure the opinion is yours. Don't repeat somebody else's opinion, because that doesn't make it your opinion. That just makes you a parent. Don't do it. Sutter Hammond live video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. You can see what's going on in studio. See the handsome faces that are Austin and Jay Foreman. You see mine too, and I apologize in advance. Jay Foreman, let them know about the Mercado.
Certified Piedmontese, special ingredients and butcher shop located at 84th and Havelock. So right at 5 o'clock, we got a text in here on the stream.
Right on time.
Eric Gilbert just committed to Nebraska, the former five-star tight end. Hello. They're trying to address some areas. Got another couple.
We asked about that room on Tuesday. What was in the tight end room? And
well, we just see what's about to be in there come the 23rd, which is next Monday. We're going to see who's on campus. And then they got some other guys. They definitely shaking some trees, and they trying to address some areas of need.
Can I say that Fedoni was at the basketball game last night, and he looks Vokolik big.
Yeah, I think they had the picture of him last year when he was running the stadium. He looked like he's, you know, been obviously working hard in the weight room. And so I think the biggest thing with him is health. You know, he stay healthy. He's a hard worker, obviously. Came in with a lot of accolades, and so, you know, health is his wealth. The good thing that they did was not rush him back out there for a couple games. Let him, you know, take the whole season off. And so, you know, he's starting just like everybody else with a clean slate. But that's almost an additional recruit because he's never played. He played sparingly, but never really played any true snaps or, like, substantial amount of snaps.
We haven't seen him. We don't know what college Fedoni looks like.
Right. And, we know he's been in the weight room. And so, you know, I think that's going to – I mean, for Matt Rhule to come in and have a former five-star tight end, I think the number one ranked tight end, fresh in the sense of he's a blank canvas or clay that he can form into his offense and then go with Eric Gilbert, I think is, you know, they're more than happy with what happened today.
It's interesting. Like I said, in that space, somebody asked the question, well, does he look durable? I don't know what durable looks like. Like winning the underwear Olympics doesn't make you durable. Like most durable dudes I know are dudes who are out of shape who manage to stay out there. They play in their natural space and they stay uninjured. So
you've seen he's been in the weight room. That's the most important. He was working hard last year, getting back in shape. Could have played last year, and with a couple more months to be able to kind of fine tune his body. He'll be fine. I'm sure he's looking forward to it. I mean, he loves football, and he's probably looking out there to go prove people wrong and also prove himself right.
And now he's got somebody in the mirror. He's got somebody looking next to him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any position, man. You know, you need more one tight end. You saw that. You no further than national champion. You got the best tight end in the league or in the nation, and Bowers, and then you got the big man that
6'5", 250.
That's going into the draft, Washington. So national champion Georgia Bulldogs have two tight ends. That Nebraska surely can have two tight ends. Iowa has two tight ends. They have Jim Lachey's son, who had a really good game against Nebraska that last game of the year, or actually started towards last end of the season. Last few games, and then also they have Eric All. So, you know, Nebraska needs two tight ends.
Let me
need more than two tight ends.
Yeah, let me read this one from you from the text line, because I don't understand his thinking, but I'm going to share this and get your opinion. So, what's up, DP and Jay? I would like to see, and this is from John. He says, I'd like to see Coach Hoiberg do a better job with recruiting and not depend so much on transfers. There isn't much continuity from year to year. The team always needs to build chemistry. First, let me say this. First of all, Fred Hoiberg recruited the first five-star in program history last year. Like, just last year.
That's 2 years.
And he just got Romeo Lloyd Jr.
Right, yeah.
And if you don't understand who Romeo Lloyd Jr. is, look him up. This is a dude. He can't do any better. Like, he's recruited better than anybody else. But we also know that in today's college game, transfer portal is how you get better in a hurry. And for somebody that has to win, you can't ask them to recruit and then base it on that and not give him time to develop. You got to say, you got to win now. That's what literally was told. You got to win now. So how do you win now?
You got to look deep.
Do you put a 17-year-old in the lineup, or do you go get a grown man to play the Big Ten Conference? If you're talking about Sky, you know, Big Sky, you got a shot. You're talking about the Colonial Athletic? Okay, fine.
He said you're Colonial.
We talked about the Big Ten. They're grown men in the Big Ten. You got to go to Ann Arbor. You got to go to Columbus. You got to – look, you got to fight grown men in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So be careful repeating a thing that's been told – thing that's been said, somebody said it, and people have used it against me. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I
like,
think
what do you want?
One of the most, like, I wouldn't say alarming thing was after the win, you know, you turn on, I don't know who I was listening to, but then they're like, oh, they're talking about the roster, and you know,
well, it changes every year. I mean, it's like I don't get just, to be comfortable in who's on the roster.
Yeah, it was earlier this morning. They just won. And granted, nobody's roster is perfect because here's why. North Carolina went to the championship last year. Mm-hmm. You know who one of their biggest transfer portal gets was? Mm-hmm. Larry Nance's son left Northwestern to go there. Mm-hmm. A hole for Northwestern, a get for North Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's North Carolina. I think to go along or kind of understand John's point, the year that everybody was gone off the roster except one guy. I don't think that's the way to do it. But I think you can have chemistry year in, year out.
Well, he didn't have dudes for the first 2 years. Right. First year was a dumpster fire empty. Like, right. he came in last minute and was literally going to what do you call it, Marshalls? Like, he was trying to Big Ten shop at Marshalls, trying to get stuff that was branded Nike that really was like Mikey and try to win in the Big Ten.
The whole roster was gone. They kept one guy. You can't win like that. You can't get any chemistry like that.
Thor was it.
But then when you have some holdovers and guys that have, you know, especially with Derek Walker, Sam Griesel fits in there because he's a Nebraska kid. He knows what it takes. And then with CJ and, you know, he had Braden back, I think you have a core of guys that kind of wanted to right the wrong from last year, bought into the team concept, and then they strategically went out and got guys that fit the script of what they envision. I'm assuming with the sit down with him and Trev when he had a plan, he executed. Now you see what can work, you know, in the short term, which is obviously, you know, you're 10-9, you're top 10 in the Big Ten. Now you have a starting point. So when you're out going out and recruiting and looking for like-mindedness players, bodies, and everything else, now you can see, okay, we can. And then you got to think Blaze is, you know, got a little bit of the injury bug when he was starting to kind of kick, you know, find his way. So if he can catch back up, that'll pay dividends. So, you know, I mean, it's
you're
quick.
10-9 with less than shooting from Casey and CJ, and with you won a game in the Big Ten without Juwan Gary and without CJ. Right. Like, look at the numbers. But again, let's give credit for when they've done the thing right.
Right. Yeah.
That
I
if
mean,
we
they won
said
last night.
If we said Casey goes 4-12, Bandamel's 2-9, CJ's 2-8, and they win against Ohio State. Okay. Like, you did a thing. Like, you did a thing. You won. And then, because here's the thing. You know what happens with defenders? They burn their energy on defense. And fatigue shows up on offense. And it affects shooting. You held Ohio State to their lowest point per possession all season long. You defended at a level that was superb defense. You won on the board against a bigger, more athletic team. Right? Without your top dog on the floor. So, give them credit for doing what they did last night.
That's where the hater, and I don't say hater because I, you know, I'm still rooting for Nebraska basketball. Part of me thinks it's a little unsustainable because you need better shooting. You can't go all year shooting 30% from three. But at the same time, this team isn't in position, and as fans, we're not in position to nitpick the wins. It's a results-oriented business. You've got to get wins. So,
well,
you held
the most productive offensive team in the Big Ten and parts of the country to 30% three-point shooting, and that was on purpose. Like, you didn't go like you're not. It doesn't just happen. The shooting percentages that they hold teams to. When this team holds a team to under 65, they have a chance to beat everybody in the Big Ten, and they figured it out. Now, there are going to be nights where you need better shooting. That's everywhere. But as Ohio State's coach said, because it's not planned, and sometimes the people you play against have a plan, and it works, and it's the Big Ten Conference. Like, Jay Foreman going out there, you're talking about attacking a Jay Foreman-type athlete in space. That's not a natural win for Nebraska basketball.
Can't pay me enough to do that.
Right? Like, Jay, like you understand, if Jay is a slasher finisher, he's going to punish you with the thing that once he finds out what you do weak, he's going to attack that. Ohio State couldn't find it last night. And what they found, they weren't good at executing.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska played well, definitely played, were the better team last night. You know, I think one of the things I always look at, I always look at rebound, and Nebraska won that, which is really good because I think the length that they have up front, with Griesel, with Dawson last night, C.J. Wiltshire has long arms. That I think that helps out tremendously with the rebound and even Bandamel as well. But what's really, really huge is when you look at Nebraska's assists. They beat Ohio State in assists, mm-hmm. and they only had two more turnovers. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you really, really like right there. You like that type of effort, as far as sharing the basketball. And you'd like a little bit more in assists if you can get it up and down the court, like Strick said before. But when you think D. Walker, right, where, he had 8 points, 10 rebounds, Griesel.
Four assists.
15 points.
Four assists to go with that. Right?
Seven rebounds.
Yeah.
And then you got Denham, seven and eight. See, those are the things what you're thinking about is like, all right, cool. And then you got Bandamel. He had three rebounds, but they were timely. CJ had four, and Lawrence had four. I mean, you're getting rebounds from guys you need it. Now, we need Braden back. He pitched a shutout there, but, I think he plays pretty physical, mm-hmm. and he used his fouls pretty good. So, I like it. Obviously, the shooting has to get better. I felt like, the first half, I would have liked to see more stuff go to the hoop. With some action, but I think that was curtailed because of the foul trouble with Derek Walker, mm-hmm. stymied their offense a little bit, so they went a little bit more to the outside game.
Yep.
So in the second half, when D. Walk was in there, you see a little bit more, the field goal percentage goes up to 53%, and then they hit some timely threes. That's where they won the game. And so, yeah, you'd like the guys that are known as your shooters to shoot better. They got to keep doing it. They got to work extra hard at it. They got to figure out what's going on. And then, shooting is like sacks on defense. You get a couple to go in, then it changes your whole mindset.
I love what you just said in the second half. So the Huskers, again, in a competitive game that could have gotten away, right?
Yeah.
It could have, and it looked early in the second half like it was going to get away.
Well, Ohio State made a run.
Right? But then here's what happens. Nebraska shoots, and we always talk about Nebraska shooting 50 from the field, 40 from three, 75 from the free throw line. Those are the treadwater success marks.
Yeah, benchmarks.
Right? 54% from the field in the second half, 57% on seven threes, and 77% from the free throw line. And they won the rebounding battle and the turnover battle.
Right.
Like.
So you're able to turn it up when you need to, and that's what you want, man. That's what you want them to do. That's what they have to do. Like I said earlier. Not everything's fixed with this victory, but this is what you can really hang your hat on. A game that obviously you weren't favored to win or shouldn't have been favored to win. And quite frankly, nobody really thought you should win considering all the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Gary out. Derek Walker is pretty much playing half the game because of foul trouble.
Breidenbach
is foul trouble. Oleg has to come in and play long, extended minutes, which mm-hmm. he hasn't had to do, and he was effective. And then, Sensabaugh was giving you the business. But they made some adjustments on Sensabaugh. The shots that he was hitting late in the second half and early in the second half were a lot different than, down the stretch. And so they did some good things there. They were able to make him play a little bit more defense, and then he fouled out. They were able to take control of that game when he went out because he was hitting some big shots, even though he's an 18-year-old freshman. And they did a really good job, I felt like, on the big guy in the middle, Zed Key, right? He went 4-for-10. He went 11 points, 10 rebounds. But he's a very efficient inside post, right? they made him miss six shots that he usually you would like to think that he would make three more of those.
Length and work, man. So, length and work.
And different body types. Mm-hmm. Oleg, Derek Walker, Breidenbach. Mm-hmm. They all play him a little bit different. The one thing I think they did defensively that I think that was really, really good, whereas that Ohio State's big isn't able to stretch the floor like DeWalk. Key isn't good off the bounce because I saw him in warm-ups and he dribbled off his foot.
Yeah.
So what they did defensively to give themselves a chance, especially more in the second half, to really run guys off the three-point line or get guys off their spot, Derek Walker didn't even chase him when they did their pin action above the free throw line. So what happened was you got an extra body, and then they always constantly rotated. And then if they ever got in a bad switch, they know that if they could really hedge on the ball to create a, you know, more of a spacing and depth for them to try to get it into their mismatch, that the rotation would come back, and then a big guy, whether it would be Griesel or when DeWalk was in there, they could get a big back on him. And then, therefore, then you're taking time off the shot clock. Then you start making Ohio State shoot some shots that they didn't want to. Early in the second half, right, they were coming down and getting transition second. I call it secondary break threes. Mm-hmm. And number four got busy. Bang, bang threes. He started to get heated up. They actually shifted their defense a little bit. And this is something that high school coaches and college coaches – well, I'm not going to talk about college coaches, but high school coaches, they don't do enough. And I learned this actually from my high school coach. Is that's on the Georgia Southern staff, right? And I talk to him all the time, and he played basketball. He's like, one thing that we try to do when we play either better teams than us or teams that have some shooters, we chart where they like to shoot on what side of the court. So we'll essentially, kind of like a baseball shift, we'll extend our defense on one side of the court, you know, whatever call it is. I don't know what to call it or whatever. And then they'll dip it a little bit lower on the back side of the court. Because if you make teams do something that they don't want to do or what they're effective at that night, then you can change the shooting percentage.
Run them off their spot.
Right.
Whatever their
spot
is.
That's what Nebraska did. Coach Nate does a really good job. I want to give him props as well. The whole staff does. But Coach Nate in particular, you know, Nate, if you're listening out there, is definitely appreciated because he does. And you know what else? Nate's a good coach because for him to come in or for this crew to come in, you know, team, and for him to kind of start from ground zero and get these guys to do the different things they've done on defense and some of their X, you know, rotations. And X would be, say, like me and DP have to close out on Austin. DP would be in the corner, would take you, and then I got to really hustle to the corner and get where DP's at. That takes want to. Well, first of all, it takes buy-in, so that's the mentality. Defense is
– well, that's their warm-up. That's their defensive warm-up.
Right, but to do it, though, in a game – you have to be able to do it in practice. Defense is about mentality and quote-unquote buy-in. It's just a mentality. Do we want to stop these guys from scoring or give ourselves the best chance for them not to score? And then you get the effort. Because if you get the first part, the second part usually comes in. Now, you'll face a team like Michigan State that just isn't on their night. They got a couple guys hitting, and they're rotating faster. They're swinging the ball faster than you can rotate. And then they're busting your head open to the white. That tip your hat. We went up to East Lansing and got our head busted open. But we can't have the Illinois game where we don't play effectively defensively or offensively, or we start too late like we did against Purdue.
Yeah, they're learning that. Texter's right. Jim on the text line is right. He said Dawson and Lawrence combined to fill the numbers that were missing with Gary.
But that's what a team is, though. That's what a team
next
is.
Next Husker up.
But that's what a team is, though. When you and this is take Nebraska out of it. In any sport, I mean, you can go back to – I was always enjoyed watching the Giants when Bill Parcells and, of course, Lawrence Taylor. Well, Phil Simms gets hurt. Jeff Hostetler goes in. You know, Jim Kelly's hurt. Frank Wright comes in and leads the biggest play, you know, comeback. Nick Foles in recent history. You think of Garoppolo for the time.
Well, people will forget that Kurt Warner was the backup.
I was just – you just that. You know what
backup.
I mean? Trent Green gets hurt on a questionable – low hit by Rodney Harrison in a preseason game. Kurt Warner.
Tom Brady. Right now, Brady doesn't get the job if Bledsoe is knocked out.
If Mo Lewis does not welcome Drew Bledsoe, right? So Matt Castle took that little 10-game, again, another kind of low hit by Pollard on Brady. Castle takes it, parlays that into, you know, so it happens. That's what happens when you have a team. Now, this is something that they need to celebrate for 24 hours. And then immediately focus right back in on Penn State because they're probably leaving tomorrow at some point in time. and you're going out there to,
and it's a Saturday, that dreaded Saturday morning,
1:15. That who tips a game off at 1:15?
Especially at Penn State.
If there's
at Penn State,
if there's ever a Penn State tip off time, if there's one college that, you know, we're going to play at 1:15, it's Penn State.
Yep. Because they know the advantage, and they know what happens with their student athletes.
You're sitting there at 1 o'clock. You're like, hey, okay, do we still warm up? We're used to playing at this time. And that's what they're doing.
And the student athletes will be back. That they're coming back that Saturday.
Hammered too, because they got
fired up. We got a day. Saturday's the only day to really get it in.
They got Sunday to kind of sleep off their hangover.
Yeah, it's going to be
drinking moonshine and everything.
That's why you talking about Happy Valley.
That's why they happy.
That's why they happy.
They like mushrooms up there too.
There is nothing else.
They grow their own little mushrooms.
There is nothing else in Happy Valley. Like nothing.
That's why they got to call it Happy Valley, because it really ain't happy.
Oh, man, there's a bubble over it. That's what they protect themselves from everything else. There's an opportunity. I mean, and I love the phrase, if the season ended today, which is one of the less meaningful statements in all of sports talk, but it's the one that's used, so I'm going to use it just for grins and giggles. But if that were the case today, Nebraska wouldn't be in the play-in day. Nebraska basketball would not be playing in that death-defying, miserable, horrible play-in game.
But this
night
is the point of Nebraska where you can't. This is like the football team when you were the best 3-9 team in NCAA history, right? Don't pat yourself on the back too much with just being okay. You've already proven to yourself that one, you can hang with I guess at that time was the best team in the nation, mm-hmm. right? You've played other teams pretty tight, and you've won some games you shouldn't have. And you've also lost some games the way you shouldn't have, as mm-hmm. far as, you know, not, you know, playing up there. So now it's like, let's not look towards the end of the season, or if the season ended the season, you got a lot of season left.
Oh, you got 12 games.
This is the time to turn it up.
If
this is the time to, because I'm mean, just say if Casey and CJ and Bandamel start to play more consistently, busting, you know, outside shots, you get Gary back.
Different deal.
We're not going to talk about CJ and those guys struggling shooting the ball.
If we said, and Texan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if we said in September that on January 18th, this basketball team would have 10 wins, would you be satisfied? The answer is yes, across the board.
It should be. But yes, now we're in real time, and then people were like, oh, now we got to talk about roster. Now we got
leaving the arena last night, walking in the crowd, you'd have thought that they were throwing confetti. Instead, there were complaints. I literally walked out, and there were five different groups of people who were all complaining. Missed free throws, bad officiating. How are you going to win without Gary? They did the Austin thing. It's not sustainable. And I just went, Huskers just won. Chill out. Like, go enjoy yourself for a night. Put it down. Put it down for a night. Put it down.
This type never had champagne before, but then always, I need the Moet.
What's wrong with the bubbles?
Right. it's not aged enough.
What's wrong with the bubbles? And I do want to go through the schedule. So let's do the first two.
All right.
And then we'll
the next two.
The first two up coming up on the schedule.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I'm
so
right here with you.
They travel to Penn State, a 1:15 tip.
Right.
University Park, Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. What winnable?
Oh yeah, it's a winnable game.
More is it 50%, 51% winnable?
I'd just say 50%.
50%. Northwestern.
Austin,
give me your Penn State percentage. 50, plus 50 or minus 50?
45-55.
Penn State advantage?
Yeah, Penn State advantage.
Okay. Northwestern.
I watched Northwestern. Boo Booey. He got that name, just rings it. But you know what? I'm going to say 55-45 Nebraska, trending towards 60-40.
I'll hit 60-40 with that one.
Maryland. At College Park, January 28th.
Oof. That one is probably a little bit harder for me. I would say 40% for Nebraska, Maryland at home. And that's just – it's a toss-up because me and Austin –
You were born
in
Maryland.
Well, no, well, that's one they need to take. They need to take me on that trip, man. But you just don't know with Maryland.
I
Maryland looks like a top – 18, and then they look like the 14th.
I think they go away and away with Maryland. Like, I think Maryland, Nebraska wins there, and Maryland wins here. Nebraska wins there, Maryland wins here.
The stretch for Maryland before that game, they host Michigan, go to Mackey to play Purdue, mm-hmm. and then host Wisconsin.
That's what I said. So I think Nebraska.
That's perfect timing for Nebraska.
Right. So that puts Nebraska at 12-10.
So these next three games, ideally, at least went to.
Right, and that's the space.
Yeah, just handle your business. And then I think a big road victory at either one of these spots would be huge. But at the end of the day, I think that if they just take on the mentality of laser-like focus on Penn State, let's put forth our best effort on each possession at Penn State.
And they can beat Northwestern here.
Right, and worry about Northwestern there. Don't think like, oh, we can go out there and just play Penn State close and then come home and then think it's a layup to beat Northwestern, and then you end up
2-1?
Yeah.
2-1 is kind of the pocket. We'll toward the break. We'll come back. We'll go through the rest of that schedule. Let Jay Foreman break it down. Illinois, Penn State, Michigan. We'll talk about that when we come back.